Hello there, this is Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, in the latest My Prague, the city's BBC correspondent Rob Cameron takes us to some of his favourite spots in the Czech capital, including the 16th century building where he goes for some peace and quiet, and the site of what was once one of the region's biggest breweries. And we hear about two Czech sisters who are making all kinds of travel dreams become reality. But first, Rob Cameron is my guest in the latest edition of My Prague. For listeners around the world, Rob Cameron has, as the BBC's correspondent in the city, been the voice of Prague for many years. The London-born journalist, who moved here in 1993, is a former colleague of ours at Radio Prague. He's also my own oldest friend in the Czech Republic. Our tour of Rob Cameron's Prague starts in the city's Nusla district, just across the street from the Na Fidlovačce theatre by the Botič River.
This is the route that I run. I run down through Vinohrady, which is sort of on the top of the hill there, through Grebovka, Havličkovy Sady, through the vineyards, and then I run along the river Botič through Nusle, where we are now. Nusle, it's one of those places. It's on the borders of Vinohrady, which is a very sort of, as you know, exclusive and bourgeois, beautiful kind of place. And Nusle is not at all.
It's rather grim here.
It's pretty grim. It still feels quite industrial. And I brought you here because we're actually standing in front of what used to be the Nusle Brewery, Nuselski Pivovar. I never knew that. I didn't know that for 20 years. I only found out quite recently. And because there were lots of vineyards here in the Middle Ages, this was called the Valley of Vineyards, I think, at some point. Originally, there was a lot of wine growing here. And then they gradually turned it into a brewery, sometime in the 17th century, I think. And I read in the 19th century, it had grown into the biggest brewery in Central Europe. I find it kind of hard to believe. But the building itself does suggest that it was a pretty major endeavour.
Well, I passed this place hundreds of times and had no idea there was ever a brewery here. Do you know when it came to an end?
I did a bit of research, actually, and it seemed that sometime during the communist period, they stopped brewing beer here, I think in 1960, and they turned it into a malt house, a sort of malting facility. And at the same time, it then became the headquarters of the communist Czechoslovakia's sort of state-owned winemaking enterprise. And so this is where they made lots of really awful wine. And I don't know if you remember a terrible red wine called Sklepmistr, which I think you can still
have blocked that one out.
I mean, that's one of my enduring memories of Prague in the early to mid-90s, is this thick red wine called Sklepmistr, sold in very large bottles as well, bigger than regular wine bottles, quite foul, but very cheap, and apparently it used to be made here.
Many people who know Prague a little will, of course, know the Vltava, the main river running through Prague. The Botič here, currently largely frozen, isn't so well known. Do you know where it runs from? I know it principally as being the little river that goes beside Bohemian's football stadium.
It starts somewhere in central Bohemia, actually. It's 35 kilometres long. I think it's one of the biggest tributaries of the Vltava. So it starts way out there. It runs through Michle and Vršovice and then Nusle, where we are now, into the new town, and then it comes out just by the railway bridge at Vítan. So it's quite a major stream. Obviously runs through the valley, or forms the valley of Nusle. For me, the fact that this river, or this stream rather, is still here, even though it's been channeled and cemented over, and there are tram lines by it, and factories by it, and bridges over it, and it's almost hidden, actually, when you walk through here. You often have to sort of remind yourself that it is still here. The fact that it is still here, for me, is a symbol of the fact that nature does survive our efforts to tame it, I guess.
Also, not far from us here is the Nusle Bridge, which, when you and I first lived here in Prague, was known as the Suicide Bridge, but no longer.
No, they've put up all these elaborate sort of barricades, defences to stop people jumping off it, and I think there are far less suicides than there used to be.
I think there are none now.
None at all, right, well there you go. But there is actually a monument, isn't there? There's a lamppost which is a kind of tribute to everybody who's taken their lives there, and the lamppost points up towards the sky, and it's either by David Czerny or Krzysztof Kintera. Kintera, right. So, it's well known by most Pragers, I guess, as a place where people did used to come and take their lives. think it's a bit like the TV tower up in Žižkov, where I know you live, Ian, where I'm hoping to move to soon. You know, when you first came here, I certainly didn't think it was beautiful. It was, you know, impressive. But now I love it. I think most people who live in the city love the TV tower. And to be honest, even the bridge, even though it does really loom over you, especially for, you know, people who live here in the Nusle Valley underneath it, and the people who, you know, walk their dogs and go jogging like I do underneath it, it belongs to Prague now. It's there. It's been there since, what, 1974 or something. It belongs to Prague. It's part of Prague. It can't be demolished or taken away. You wouldn't want to do that. And it just becomes one of those features, architectural features of the city that you live with and grow up with, I guess, in a sense. And it's very hard to imagine Prague, and certainly Nusle, without it.
From the banks of the Botič, Rob and I head downtown to a spot not far from the banks of the Vltava. The Clementinum is a complex of historical buildings that's an oasis of calm just meters from the bustling Charles Bridge. Indeed, the only real sound you can hear is the low rumble of trams on the street outside.
It is a former Jesuit halls of residence for a university, a college here that dates back to the, I think, 16th century. But it's also the home of the National Library, so the great fund of literature in the Czech Republic. Now, I brought you here simply because I'm freelance and I work at home. And I've also got two young kids, and working at home, frankly, is often impossible. So I come here for a bit of peace and quiet, basically, and this is just the quietest place in Prague to work, apart from the trams, which you can hear through the windows, perhaps, and the occasional banging of the toilet door here in the Clementinum. But apart from that, it's just a great place to come and actually concentrate.
So it's a kind of really high-class, historical co-working centre.
It really is, yeah. It's a sort of hub, isn't it? But one that was founded in the 16th century. And on the walls were these incredible frescoes, I guess, showing the life of St. Clement, and even students who presumably lived here, ate here, studied here. But it's just the most incredibly peaceful place to come when, you know, you're on a deadline, you have to write an article or write a radio script or something. Only here are there no distractions. Only here does your phone have to be on silent. It promises you absolute quiet and contemplation in the very heart of Prague, a few steps from, you know, the Charles Bridge. So it's just fantastic.
What are the conditions for coming here and using the space? Can anybody come here?
That's one of the great secrets about the Clementinum, is that anybody can. As long as you have an ID card, I think either permanent residents or even just temporary residents, foreigners can come. The annual membership costs are ridiculous, 100 crowns, I think 150, so it's really nothing. And if you have some history in academia, education, I was a teacher for a while at New York University in Prague, that gives me access to this special study room, which is even quieter than the main ancient library study room, which is where most of the students sit.
You never find yourself here distracted by the fabulousness of the surroundings?
Not really. To be honest, the study room where I tend to sit and work is not as sort of splendid as this cloister that we're standing in now. The only real distraction in this place is the marvellous canteen, which is just around the corner. It's awful, but in a kind of great way. It's the kind of canteen that you would have gone to in Prague in perhaps 1994. The food really hasn't changed much since then. The coffee's slightly better. And you see all these academics and students clearly relieved to take a breather from whatever academic undertaking they've been in, distracted by. But apart from that, there aren't really many distractions at all, so it's just the perfect place to come and sit and think and read and write.
The final stop on our short journey through Rob Cameron's Prague is Café Modi. On the corner of Myslíková Street and Karlovo Náměstí, it's a very cosy, welcoming place with nary a tourist or hipster in sight.
When you asked me to choose a café, I was thinking about lots of other places that I go to that I imagine lots of other people have mentioned before, you know, Slavia, Louvre, Kaaba, and Vinohrady, all great places that I go to a lot. But this place, it's not fantastically trendy or unusual or different, it's just really nice, and it's symbolic for me of the great transition of cafes in Prague, which, as I'm sure you remember, in the past often were either really noisy or really smoky or just had terrible coffee. At this place, it's non-smoking, it's not too noisy, coffee's great, and the breakfasts are amazing. It's another great reason why I come here. It's right in the new town, just on Kalawanamisti, on Charles Square, so its location is really good. It's good for working, but it's also just good for, you know, grabbing a coffee on the way to somewhere else.
Well, I guess when you and I first lived here, you could literally know every single place in Prague with good coffee. Now, it's impossible to keep up.
Absolutely. You could probably count them on one hand, couldn't you? And also, add to that, the places where you weren't going to get ripped off as well, which was another feature of the 90s, at least for foreigners living in Prague. That's changed, isn't it? I mean, pretty much every cafe you go to in the broader centre now will have good coffee, will have good service, will be generally pleasant places to sit for, you know, meetings or to work or just to meet people. So yeah, it's been a huge change. And actually, I've kind of begun to prefer going to the lesser known places and seeking out new places just so you have more options, I guess, especially as your Louvres and Slavias are just becoming more and more popular. They're, you know, in all the guidebooks or on TripAdvisor, and often it's just hard to get a table.
What about pubs or bars? What are your favourite places in Prague?
I tend to go to the same places all the time. I go to Ukurelo a lot, which is a classic example of a foreign-run Czech pub.
Former dump,
now great. Jakub Motzkarad, just bring us some ginger tea and a coffee for you. And those places, it's a great example of somewhere which is stayed Czech. You know, it's American-run, but it still has a fairly Czech, mixed Czech foreign clientele. It still serves great Czech beer for not too much more than you would pay in a dump. No, I think it's an example of you know, how pubs can be successfully managed and not lose their identity, that, you know, special Czech identity that so many pubs here have. And I guess, unfortunately, a lot of the real dumps here, they do at least have character, don't they, even though they're smoky and horrible. They are different from the sort of brewery pubs that have sprung up around the city. Apart from that, generally I go out to places that are reasonably close to where I live, to either Vinohrady or Žižkov. I don't really have that many favourites. I don't really have a local as well, which is odd. As I say, I tend to go to Ukurelo, which is about a 20-minute walk for me.
One thing also I wanted to ask you about, Rob, is you've been here since 93. For the great majority of that time, you've been a journalist in Prague. How is Prague as a city to report from?
Well, you know, it's not as exciting or newsworthy as other countries in Europe. It's a quiet patch, so you have to look hard for the interesting stories, but it doesn't mean that they're not there. There are lots and lots of interesting people in this country, and so with a bit of local knowledge and persistence, then yeah, you can make a living here as a journalist.
And are there typical stories that editors outside the Czech Republic are interested in?
Anything quirky, anything to do with beer, anything to do with Havel when he was alive, anything to do with the city's history, I guess, anything related to the communist legacy, the Habsburg legacy, the Holocaust. So all of that does give you a kind of great spring from which to draw the stories that journalists are constantly looking for. But I suppose we have one thing to thank the Czechs themselves, and I don't think I'd be insulting anybody by saying this. They do quite quirky things and quite odd things. They love, you know, dressing up and reenacting battles and go to enormous lengths to live in this sort of twilight world of otherness that perhaps isn't the case elsewhere in Europe.
A big question, like myself, you've spent more or less half your life here in Prague. What has Prague given you, Rob, would you say?
I would literally say everything. I mean, it's hard to imagine how grateful I am for the opportunities I've had here, which have come partly through my job working for the BBC, and before that, Czech Radio, of course. But it's hard to imagine coming here with no real qualifications apart from English as my native tongue and a degree that, you know, I would be here where I am today, happy in my job, living in a great city, living in a beautiful part of the city which I couldn't hope to live in if it was, say, London or Paris. I mean, that would be like, you know, having a manor house in Hampstead or something like that. Insane, but you can do that here in Prague. I appreciate not everybody can, but if you have a decent enough income, you can. And the more you stay here, I think the more deeply you do fall for Prague. I think it's a love affair that just gets becomes ever deeper the longer that you stay. And you constantly find new places to see and new things about the city as well that make you love it even more. There are drawbacks, of course there are, but it's just a fantastic place to live.